Chapter 5. Lovers in Love. The Dashwood family were pleased that Edward had come to stay, and the girls soon took up their old sisterly relationship with him. Eleanor, however, could not be completely happy when her friend appeared to be troubled. His attitude to herself was also confusing. Sometimes he seemed to treat her no differently to the other two sisters. Yet at other moments, a look or comment would imply that he believed there was a much deeper understanding between them. Marianne tried to give them many opportunities to be together, hoping that Edward would be encouraged to confess his feelings to her sister. But as soon as she left them alone, he would make some excuse and go out, leaving Eleanor alone, embarrassed and puzzled. Every morning, Edward went out riding on his favourite horse. One day, he returned from a long ride around Barton Valley full of praise for the pretty landscape of the area. Marianne joined in his praises with enthusiasm, being, she said, a great admirer of natural beauty herself, and began to ask which places had particularly struck him, describing all the places she and Willoughby had admired. After a few minutes, however, Edward began to laugh and begged her not to interrogate him any more, saying,
"You know I will only disappoint you, Marianne, as the reasons for my preferences are much less romantic than yours."
He was, he added, of a practical mind, and his idea of a pretty landscape was one where the woods seemed full of useful timber, the meadows were full of cows, and the village houses looked clean and their owners well-fed. Marianne's tastes, he guessed, would be more in favour of mysterious ruined towers and wild heaths. Marianne, indignant, admitted this, but challenged Edward to justify his indifference to such dramatic beauty. Seeing her sister was becoming rather angry, Eleanor interrupted them and accused them both of exaggeration. Marianne's character, she said, was of the romantic sort, which found beauty only in the wildest and most dangerous aspects of nature, while Edward's was of the rationalist type, which admired only those aspects of nature which man had tamed. She proposed an alternative view, that a measure of both attitudes was necessary to appreciate nature properly. Marianne accepted her sister's efforts at peacemaking, but privately, she thought Edward was rather conservative and dull. She looked with pity at her sister. How could she have fallen in love with a man like Edward, when there were vital, passionate men in the world like Willoughby? Later that day, however, Marianne thought she had at last discovered some indication that Edward did have romantic feelings towards her sister. She noticed at tea that he was wearing a ring made from a lock of shiny brown hair, and said innocently,
"I've never noticed you wearing a ring before, Edward. Is that your sister Fanny's hair? It looks fairer than hers."
Edward blushed, looked quickly at Eleanor, then replied,
Yes, it is my sister's hair. This light makes it look a different colour, that's all."
Eleanor was convinced by his reaction that the hair was in fact hers, and was very surprised that he must have somehow acquired it secretly, as she had never given him such a token. Edward's embarrassment lasted for a long time, and he seemed strangely distracted for the rest of the day. Marianne regretted her comment, and hoped that Eleanor was not angry with her. Eleanor, however, was secretly rather pleased. She too had been waiting for some confirmation of his feelings, and now it seemed that Edward did admire her after all. He remained another week at the cottage, and they passed many pleasant days in walks, picnics, and musical evenings. Then, just when he seemed to be recovering his good humour and enjoying himself most, he suddenly said he had to leave again. Although he insisted that he did not enjoy staying at Norland and hated London, nevertheless, he seemed determined to go to one or other of these places. Eleanor privately blamed this strange behaviour on his difficult relationship with his mother, and was more ready to find excuses for his abrupt departure than she had been for Willoughby's. Never having met Mrs. Ferrars, it was easy to attribute all of her son's strangeness and reserve to her influence and ambitions, and to her well-known disapproval of Eleanor herself. After he had left, Marianne and Mrs. Dashwood watched Eleanor carefully for signs of melancholy or grief, but she occupied herself completely with her drawing and sewing, and did not mention his name. Marianne thought her sister's behaviour, so exactly the opposite of her own when Willoughby had left, very unfeeling. Such self-command could surely only mean one thing, that her feelings for Edward Ferrars were not as strong as Marianne's affections for Willoughby. Eleanor, however, got through this difficult period as her own character and good sense dictated. Of course, she thought continually about Edward, turning over in her mind all he had said and done, trying to understand what he really felt, but she did not give way to hysterics or melancholy. She dealt with her sadness privately and did not worry her family with her troubles. Gradually, they stopped watching her so closely. And when, later that week, new visitors arrived at Barton, they soon forgot their concern for Eleanor's suffering, since she didn't constantly remind them of it.